Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN, and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Everybody, welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Talon Jenkins, joined by our host. We got Ryan Gilbert and Joel Meyer. Gentlemen, how the hell are we doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. You know, a bit disappointed in the Panthers there in game one, but it was, as a hockey fan, just a tremendous game one. 5-2 final score, but you know, the game was much closer, perhaps a better game, you would say, than the final score indicates. Yeah, should be a good series, but I am disappointed that my Panthers could not get it done, especially after scoring the first goal, but we'll get into that more.
For all you listeners out there, do you guys want to know why we don't record on Saturdays during the regular season?
Why don't we record on Saturdays, Joel?
Because I'm up at like 6 in the morning watching the Bundesliga, watching the Premier League, watching Serie A in Italy, watching college football all day, and I'm getting fucking hammered. But now these guys are making me record on Saturday night after doing the same thing except with fucking the French Open, tennis. I've been up since 4 in the morning, drinking since 7 in the morning, and I'm cruising, man. I've been drinking since 11 and a half hours, something like that. And
we have made it clear that we do not drink and swear on this show, and we do not do both of those things at the same time. You're saying that you're drunk and you're dropping f-bombs. To allow this?
This is a family-friendly podcast.
That's what I'm saying. This is why we don't record on Saturdays.
This is meant to be listened to in the car with your entire family, especially if they're under the age of 12.
If those are the parameters, we can't record on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What are we gonna record?
We got 40 days.
That's what I'm saying. Playoffs take precedent over everything. So if this is when you have to record, then you just have to take me at my worst. If you love me at my best, then you have to take me at my worst. Is that how the saying goes for those bitches?
This is our best, though. So our weekend off the rails episodes are our best ones.
I love you at your worst, Joel. I love you at your worst, Joel.
Thanks, bro. Anyway, terrible day in tennis. Lost a couple outrights once again. My girl, Lena Rybakina, my Kazakh muse, beautiful, beautiful lady. She was sick today, so she didn't even compete. So I lost that one. But I'm all in on Novak Djokovic tomorrow. All in on that. All in on him winning the whole fucking thing. This guy never fails me. Just bet Djokovic, whatever the number is. And Iga Swiatek, we're going chalky, like Talon likes to do with the golf. We're going chalky in both the French men's and women's finals. Swiatek and Djokovic, they're both going to win. No problem. What else happened today? We had the Serie A. I finally had a nice winner. Inter Milan beating AC Milan. That was a nice win. Inter beat Torino today, so they finished ahead of AC Milan. That was a nice bet, so I finished in the positive, in the black for one of the leagues, at least lost in the other three, but fuck it. Go Italy. High winning in one league at least. And what else happened? Oh, yeah. Fucking Vegas won tonight. I put so much money on fucking Vegas. I lied. I said I'll put a little bit, but I put a fuck ton on it. Also, sprig a little bit on like fucking every UFC dog. So, and like half of them came through. So a little bit of a profit there, but that was just for fun. Just during the commercials, just during the intermissions, while we were waiting for the fucking anthem to get going, because the fucking hockey game didn't start till like 5:30 PST. So yeah, we had to watch some UFC in the meantime. Meanwhile, my guy Albazi is fighting right now. I don't know how he's doing. We're gonna see how he does after this recording, I guess. But hell of a day, boys. Hell of a day because the Knights came through. And yeah, I'm totally on the dark side now. Let's go.
Yes!
Leaving the hate and like, use your anger or whatever the fuck the saying goes.
Absolutely incredible, man. You're my boy. So much to take in there. We're just going to let that sit where it is. Absolutely love it. Now, I got to say, today.
Oh, it's golf. Golf.
What are you saying? Golf. Golf. Golf.
Golf.
Golf. Golf.
Wasn't
Jared Goff?
Golf.
No, not golf. Golf.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy finish tomorrow, though, right? In the Memorial. It's like 40 guys within five shots. It's going to be nuts. But go Matsuyama. Go Victor Hovland and go Jordan Spieth, I guess.
Fuck Jordan.
What do you got, Talon? You got like fucking 20 of them, right?
Oh my god, I'm gonna kick you right in the dick here. Okay, I got my boy Victor Hovland. I got Patrick Cantlay. I still think he's only two strokes off the lead, but he had a tough day today. I do got Morikawa as well. Didn't take Spieth. I got Rombo two back. I think he might be, unless he goes absolutely lights out tomorrow. Everybody,
no Hideki? No Hideki?
No, I didn't take Hideki. Like I said, man, I've been staying off Hideki since that neck injury came up. But like I put in the discard, if this guy's healthy, look out here, boy. The Japanese stallion. If this guy's healthy, all this guy does is just nail approach shots. His iron's eye. Oh my god. His iron play, his like wood play. That guy's got hard wood, hard, tight wood. Gotta love that Japanese hard, tight wood, baby. So it'll be an interesting Sunday going into the Memorial. That's absolutely incredible. You know what I did want to say, though? So I had a beautiful day planned. I was working minutes last night. I got home at about, 7 a.m., a couple pints, went to bed and shit, woke up, was chilling with my girl. We're like, what are we doing? We're going to Canadian Tire. We're going to get some flowers for her. I wanted some kitchen stuff and, look around. But there's a little bar across the street that I love because they got great wings, they got great beer. So we went to the bar. And I was sitting there, I'm like, okay, we're having a good time, eating some wings, getting some pines, got some garlic bread with cheese, hell yeah. And I look on the TV and it's soccer. I'm like, what are we doing here? Whatever, it's probably about maybe like 3 p.m. I'm like, okay, let's watch the soccer. This sport sucks. Joel, I am so sorry. I was watching Brazil against Israel in like a national game. I don't know if it was a qualifier for something.
That was a good game. U20 World Cup qualifier. Yeah,
U20 World Cup. It's the typical thing, and I sound like such a loser for saying it because it's like what everybody says, but I'm watching these guys roll around on the ground. Are you fuck? The goalie made a save. I watched the goalie make a save. Like I hit it like his shoulder or something, and then he acted like he was hurt. Bro, you're the goalie. It's supposed to hit you. What are we doing here? It was hands down the craziest thing I ever saw. I used to play soccer. I was varsity high school soccer, bro. And you know what I did? Because I was varsity high school soccer, the only reason I was on the team, I was bench warm, but I was high as fuck every day, and it got me out of school. So hell yeah. But my coach said I would play about 10 minutes a half. Whenever the guys needed a break, they put in old fucking Towski. He went out there and did his best and had a good time, baked his shit, and got me out of school. So I respect those that play soccer. Now, the idea that if your goalie makes a save and has to be injured every time the ball hits him, that's absolutely ridiculous. Seeing guys roll around, I can't stand it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, so I'm sorry. I can never get behind that sport. Joel, I know you love it. I respect that you love it. You're a good guy. You're my boy. You're my dog. You're my boy. You both are my boys. But I'm sorry. I can't get behind soccer, man. It's done. That solidified it. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know what? Honestly, I like the fan bases more than the actual players. Like the
hell culture yeah.
behind the soccer. Like the guys in the stands are way more masculine than the guys on the field. So that's what I support most of all. But it's still a beautiful game. Whatever. I mean, they dive, they get the whistles. They're just playing the ref, right? Like change the rules before you get after the players, kind of thing. Because if they do that shit, then they get the whistles and all that. But yeah, that's a convoluted conversation. That's something to be dealt with. But
It's a narrative. Everybody knows it. We don't got to go into it. It's everybody talks about it. It's the same thing, but just to see it. And I was, yeah. I had to watch it. And I was like, what the fuck are we doing? And baseball was on the other screen. And no matter how bad these guys are diving, I'm not turning and watching baseball. So that makes sense too. But anyways, I'm doing good, boys. Let's get right into it. Everybody go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast, Eric website. That's the place to be, baby. Tons of articles going on. Be sure to check those out. A lot of love goes into those articles, man. Ryan, have you written anything lately? Anything on the,
I had a game one preview, and I had a Panthers team preview and a Golden Knights team preview, as well as a 2024 Stanley Cup long shots to bet right now. So plenty of stuff out there. There's going to be a preview for every game in the Stanley Cup final. So hopefully we get seven of those.
We'll be sure to check those out for sure. And keep in mind that, you know, just because game one's over, those pre-series previews are still in effect, man. It's only one game, so read what Ryan had to say about Florida, read what he had to say about Vegas. There's definitely still some good insight there, and of course be sure to listen to the other shows. Tons of stuff for the network, man. Lots of love goes into there. Be sure to check out Ryan's other show with him and Blake. Baseball Money is Fake. Those guys are absolutely always killing it. So hell yeah, man. Go to the website, find all that shit out. And of course, shout out to all our friends and pals in the Discord. Great night in the Discord. Lots of action going down. We're in the final series, man. But you know what? I'm making a note right now. We always keep it going in the summertime. We got GM hirings. Fuck, when the time playoffs is over, we got the draft in like 2 weeks. So there's going to be tons of hockey content. And if you're not in the Discord, you're going to be missing out on it all, baby. So shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. If you're trying to get in there, you can reach out to myself or Ryan on Twitter. You can also reach out to the HTP Twitter account. We should have pointed you in the right direction. Or you can... Fuck, I didn't even do any research to old communication things. What you can do is you can just carve out in those little tattoos, you know, the pointillism tattoos, like the hammer and poke or whatever it is.
Stick and poke?
Stick and poke. That's it. You can stick and poke a code into your dick. And Joel's always looking at dicks online. So if you stick and poke dicks and then you post that somewhere, Joel, I'm sure he'll see it because this guy's just looking at stick and poke comments every day. And then he'll read it. And what he'll do is probably stick and poke his dick and then put it underneath you. And what he sticks and pokes onto his dick will be how to get into the Discord. So that's the way to do it, baby.
Hey, Talon, I'm sure he didn't do any research at all, eh?
I didn't. That's on the top of my head. I'm 100% serious, you know. It sounds like you're being a stick and poke kind of guy. So I don't know. But hell yeah. So stick and poke your dick or reach out to us on Twitter. We'll get you in the Discord.
Yeah. sg.pn/Discord. And you're bringing up how the draft is right after the Stanley Cup final. I got a bone to pick with the NHL award show not being until that week either. So we got all of our money tied up on our McDavid Hart futures and all these futures that we know what's going to happen. But sportbooks just get to keep our money for a few more weeks, an extra month. You know, NBA does it earlier, MLB I think does it, you know, similar time frame, but gotta wait an extra week or two here, which is annoying. But yeah, get in the Discord.
And they did during the Western Conference Finals,
East I was
Conference
gonna
finals.
Say
yeah,
I'd rather
that's when it should be
yeah but now that, they're doing bro. It before the draft, so
no, I agree, do it before the draft. Had last year, guys were flying out before the fucking finals of the Stanley Cup to get their awards.
Embiid got the MVP award before game one against the Celtics. Award it to the player if they're playing before their playoff game.
We got 2 weeks between. Do it the week after the playoffs before the draft. It should be happening during the playoffs.
I actually agree with Talon. I don't like it, but I have to agree with Talon for the good of the game.
Give me my fucking money. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I know. For us bettors, it sucks, but for the good of the game, I like the awards being in between the two.
I don't know. Because didn't that Cale McCarr have to fly out to get his award and then fly back like 2 weeks after and play
it was
a game?
Totally, it was totally artificial.
Don't make him fly out. It shouldn't be a show anyway, but whatever. Make sure you subscribe.
A few days after the cup.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's a moot point anyway. The NHL's not going to listen to this or even change. So make sure you subscribe to the Hockey Land Podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. It may not mean much to you. It means a lot for us. It helps the show grow here as we have just a few more weeks of actual hockey to talk about before we get into the off season and get in the Discord, as Talon said, sg.pn/Discord.
All right. We got a couple things we're going to run through really quickly before we go into the games here. We don't got to spend too much time on these. First little piece of tidbit news here. Pittsburgh Penguins. They made a nice little hiring there for their president of hockey operations position. They were able to hire one, Kyle Dubas, who has been speaked a little bit about on the show previously. Boys, good hour for Pittsburgh here. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased here. Everybody knows I'm a Dubas guy. I'm not going to go too crazy on this one. Penguins fans, if we have any Penguins listeners here who are not aware of Cal Dubas as a person or as well as his talents in a management role, I will say, man, and there's a quote that I heard. I think I was listening to the 83 Weeks podcast ago and it kind of, or a few weeks ago, and it kind of it stuck with me. What was it? It was, success has many parents, but failure is often an orphan. And the one thing I will say about Kyle Dubas is even when he does something wrong, this guy is there to admit his faults. And he's willing to step up and say, yeah, I made a mistake here. So he'll be the single parent of an orphan that nobody loves because they're ugly, they're dirty, they're stinky. It was a bad deal. So you got a guy. What I'm trying to get across here is you have a good guy at your helm here, okay? And if you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins right now, they're cap struck. He's going in there with some pretty heavy contracts he has to work around with the likes of Chris Letang, signed to 2028. Sidney Crosby for the next 2 years. Decent cap hit still. Evgeny Malkin for, the next, like, three or four. This guy's got some work for him, and we all know that the Fenway Sports Group wants this team to be a contender now. Now, the one thing I'll give Kyle Dubas credit for, whether you like him or hate him, he's good at finding market inefficiencies, and he's good at surrounding his team, his star players, with guys that can, you know, suffice and play well up to that point. They probably won't be around for long because he's going to give them opportunities and they will succeed and they'll be gone once the contracts are up. But you know what? That's what this team is looking for right now. And it came out that it's a 7-year deal here for Dubas as well. So you know what? He's going to be riding out these guys and these contracts for a little bit. But I think the biggest thing for him is building a program in the Pittsburgh, you know, developmental system. So you'll see their ECHL team improving. You will see that AHL team improving. If you're in Wiltsburg, Scranton, you're going to have a lot of fun, man, because this guy did the same thing for Toronto. He had success from the ground up, and you're going to absolutely love what you see. Will they have success at the NHL level? I think they're kind of cap constrained, and you won't see it. But hell, the guy's here for 7 years, man. It's going to be interesting to see how he shapes the program. And no matter what happens in the near say, I feel like down the road it's going to be a right hire for the Pittsburgh Penguins here and the Fenway Sports Group. So hell yeah, good on Pittsburgh. You got your boy. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And I'm biased, of course, but yeah, I'm a Dubas guy. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good point you made about how he's good at finding those cheaper players, those role players. That's exactly what Ron Hextall is horrible at. He traded for Granlund, traded for these guys that he overpaid for at the trade deadline. Horrible doing that with the Flyers, too, when they were trying to contend. So, yeah, Dubas, I'm a fan of him. And it's just it's funny how, you know, he said Toronto or nowhere and ends up going to Pittsburgh. But I know Joe called that. We talked about that a little bit last night. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the writing was on the wall with Dubas going to Pittsburgh once.
Can I say one thing before? I'm sorry. I got to say one thing. That is so circumstantial. That's like you're sitting there and you're dating a girl and you're like, oh, yeah, you're the only one for me, baby. And then the next day she fucking breaks up with you. Well, what are you going to do after that? Because that's exactly what it is. Yeah, you're going to find someone else. It was Leafs or nothing. And then, you know what? They fired him. You can say his contract was running out. They fired him 3 weeks before his contract ended. So that's still a firing. Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to find somewhere else to play. That's all I have to say about that.
Joel?
I'm not going to go into that again. But, yeah, we've been over this before. I'm not going to start a random argument about fucking Kyle Dubas once more. But I think he's a good GM. I don't think he's a great GM. And I think that this is a bridge too far. Like, he wanted the power in Toronto. He got the power in Pittsburgh. But I don't think that he's earned it necessarily. I know he's been good at finding those good guys. Like, you can, like, those cheap guys who provide more than what they're worth. But at the same time, he's also paid more for guys than they're worth, and that's the problem. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I have no real solidified concrete opinion on this hire. I just it can't be worse than Hextall and Burke. So yeah, I mean, perfect. Yeah, so we don't have a GM hiring yet per se. Like, he hasn't hired a GM yet in Pittsburgh, so we'll have to see what goes on there. But yeah, this is the Dubas show now. Like, he's under the microscope in terms of what goes on forward. I mean, he's going to have a long leash, right? Because the Penguins are not in a win-now mode, I don't think. I mean, given all
they want it, though. That Fenway group wants them to win, man.
For sure, but you have to be reasonable because they're all getting older and they have all these contracts and they don't have a lot of young guys coming in. Like, their cupboards are bare in terms of prospects and draft picks. So you got to give Dubas time at least. And so, yeah.
They did, though. That 7-year contract, yeah, that speaks volumes right there. You're right.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah, it'll depend on who he hires. But, yeah, I made my opinion known. I don't think that I don't have to say it again. I thought that he used his family as leverage and all that shit. But
God, here we go.
Yeah, okay. We don't have to go into
it.
We're not
gonna. It's okay. It's okay.
That's my opinion of it, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. It was announced too that he will not be hiring a GM until after the draft as well. So we'll see how that all plays out. Let's go.
The more power for him.
Yep, that's it. It's a power play, baby. all right, let's move down to another news here. Funny how it all goes back to the Leafs, eh? What a funny show we have here.
Well, the Leafs are the center of hockey, for better or for worse.
Well, it's just so funny how our management and everybody shit, and then once everybody is available, you know, teams are chomping at the bit to get them. Cal Dubas, Brendan Pridham's been interviewed a lot, but we'll keep going. Who's the guy?
How about Washington?
Must be a pretty successful franchise.
We must be doing something right.
Best coach, best manager in the league.
No, we're terrible though. Nobody wants anybody to come from us. You know, claim every agent on free waivers. Mm-hmm. But anyways, news coming out of the Columbus Blue Jackets here. It looks like they found a head coach in Columbus. Columbus Blue Jackets appear to be, it's not official at the time of recording, but it's all but official. All the insiders are reporting it. Mike Babcock's back in the NHL, baby. It looks like him and Jiro Kekalainen are going to be just slapping fucking wieners all around in Columbus. You got two big assholes going at it here. So Columbus Blue Jackets found a head coach in Mike Babcock. It'd be interesting to see. He hasn't coached since he was released by the Leafs about 3 or 4 years ago here. Obviously, under interesting circumstances. But you know what, man? Players have been known to say in the public that Mike Babcock is the biggest fucking asshole around, but he's the best hockey coach they've ever had. And maybe that's what this team in Columbus needs here, man. They got players here. Zach Werenski, former Toronto Maple Leaf, or future Toronto Maple Leaf, rather. Who else they got? Patrick Laine, Johnny Gaudreau, Jack Roslovic. They got some players here. They got a couple fucking tendies that are ready to go. It's an interesting signing. I think it's from a personal point of view. I think Babs kind of wants to be out of a major market, maybe a little bit more. There's a lot of debate saying, yeah, does this guy want to be in win now mode? That's what you think with Mike Babcock. But I think a bigger thing him is just get his footing back in the NHL, get to coaching. He's a good fucking coach. And, you know, people are allowed to learn, right? So maybe he realizes that how I used to do things isn't the proper way to do things. With that being said, I'm all for a hard coach, man. But I don't know. We'll see how it plays out here. Interesting. I don't know if it's the perfect fit, but it is a fit. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't like seeing these retread coaches give him another shot, especially after what? I'm not sure if he's been coaching since being fired by the Leafs, but in the past
he was at the University of Saskatchewan.
I do remember that. And then there was some whole like profile written up on him. But yeah, I didn't realize how shitty of a person he was. Well, coach, he can be a great coach, but like he's a complete shitty person. Like the thing with Marner, apparently he scratched Mike Modano ahead of his 1500th game or something. Like there was a certain
Mike Modano finished his career with 1,499 games. Detroit already secured a playoff spot, and Babcock scratched.
And here's the thing: is Babcock that good of a coach, or did he just have Nicklas Lidström playing half hour a night with Dominic Hasek in net with Prime Datsyuk and Zetterberg?
Won a cup in Anaheim.
Yeah. No, he made the cup final, but yeah, that was Jagera putting the team on their back. But yeah, I'd rather see, you know, guys like the guy from Toronto that went to Washington, Carberry or whatever, those guys get a chance rather than these older guys that, you know, could have a heart attack behind the bench.
My first instinct was that it was kind of surprising. Was that a fart town?
No,
is that a whodunit?
Another whodunit.
If it was a fart, it'd be a lot. It'd be a burger.
Or a Joel scoff, as what happened last time.
Ryan's the baby bitch farts.
At first, I was surprised about this, but then I remembered that this is the same team that hired John Tortorella. Mm. And the team that hired John Tortorella is not ashamed of hiring Mike Babcock. Mike Babcock is just, he's the same kind of breed as Tortorella. And They're bringing this guy in to fix a culture, create a culture. It's going to be interesting to see him mesh with the likes of Patrick Laine. I don't know if he's going to be into that, given the fact that he couldn't get along with Paul Maurice.
How's Johnny Gaudreau thinking right now after signing that big contract?
Yeah, well, Johnny Gaudreau's a pussy. Patrick Laine's a pussy. Mike Babcock's going to come in there. He's going to boss him around. Fuck all you fucking pussies. These guys are going to get whipped into shape by Mike Babcock. I'm going all in on Mike Babcock. Might take a couple years, but the Blue Jackets defense is terrible. goaltending is very hit and miss, though Kupersalo was very good towards the end of the year. I'm still a Babcock guy. I think that this guy has legit potential to create a team that's built for the playoffs. Maybe not for the regular season, but if he can get in, watch out, man. This guy can he can get guys to win, get guys to buy into the team culture, get guys to submit to the team. That's why he benched fucking Medano for that $14.99, because the team matters more than the individual. That's what I preach all the time. That's what Mike Babcock teaches. So, I'm all in on Mike Babcock, but I don't think the Blue Jackets will be ready just next year, but maybe 2 years down the road.
Stranger things have happened, man. I don't know. I think it's going to be a shit show, but it'll be a fun shit show. Who cares about Columbus, but it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, who cares about Columbus? That's the point. Yeah, nobody will care about Mike Babcock, whatever he does there. Like, if he does to Patrick Laine what he did to Mitch Marner, nobody gives a shit about it in Columbus.
I want you to make a list of everybody you think that fucking sucks on this team.
Just because Mike Babcock can't name his fourth line, probably, because who the fuck knows who the
can you name bracket. Their fourth
no,
line?
No, absolutely not. That's what I'm saying.
Can you name one other player than who we named already that plays for Columbus?
You got Boone Jenner, you got Jack Roslovic.
Boone Jenner, former Oshawa General, great. That's a good fucking name.
Yeah, this does kind of put Columbus not on the map, but it makes Columbus not just a boring small market team. So,
And trust in Yermo. Yermo is an interesting GM, man. When he swings hard. Sometimes he misses, but sometimes he hits too. So, I think Joel brought it up too. You know, this year may not be the best coming up, but 2 to 3 years down the line, we'll see where this team's at.
They got some good prospects coming up, that's for sure. They got a good pipeline coming through the woodworks, and they got some guys signed up long term. It's just about fucking fixing Patrick Laine's Xbox addiction.
they got Babcock for their pipeline, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
This episode is supported by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advantage, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. You can get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. You can double down on a favorite bet or use it to create an awesome middle or hedge opportunity here with the Stanley Cup Final. EdgeBoost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest. So support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, boys. We're going to move into the game that we had tonight here. First game of the Stanley Cup finals. Vegas Golden Knights, Florida Panthers. Vegas beat Florida. What's the final? 5-2, I think. They got an empty netter there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. I'm sorry, I've had a lot of beers. Ryan touched on it a little bit earlier. The game wasn't as far apart as the score makes it seem here. It was a pretty tight game here, but obviously Vegas did get it done. Florida got on the board early, and that kind of caught me off guard here, man. Vegas looked a little... Joel's going to give me shit here. Vegas looked a little bit hesitant at one point along in the game. But you know what? Kudos on them for keeping it rolling here. If there's one thing I learned from the series here, boys, it's up to anyone. Anybody that thought that either team was going to come in here and just absolutely roll, that's definitely not going to be the case. These boys are both playing up. If you're a Vegas player, if you're a Florida player, everybody's showing up and they're fucking grinding. They're chewing through absolute leather, like I said on the last show. It's going to be a hell of a series, man. So, guys, what are your thoughts on game one?
Yeah, a fantastic game one. Both teams had, you know, a little bit of surges there early on. Early shorthanded goal, Eric Staal. No one really saw that one coming. Knights then tied it up. A few key points, just the physicality in the game. Right away, they got to know each other right in front of the net. And whistles, scrums, that continued throughout the game. And then that Aiden Hill stick save, but first one in the second period on Nick Cousins was completely changed the game. That could be the highlight they show for Aiden Hill's Conn Smythe package if he ends up winning it. Because that put him on the map. And I owe Aiden Hill an apology because I said, you know what, he might not be able to win. Be a Stanley Cup winning goaltender, and he showed tonight that he can be. I was not a fan of some of the penalty calls or non-penalty calls that seemed to favor Vegas. It didn't really matter, though, because Florida's power play sucked, and Vegas was only 1-for-4, 1-for-5 on their power play. What did kind of irk me was the Mark Stone high stick on the fourth goal on his goal. I thought it was a high stick, but more importantly, I don't think that should be a penalty for asking to be have reviewed. Have every goal be reviewed, especially in the third period, especially in the Stanley Cup final. Don't make coaches you know, especially with the gray area of goalie interference and high stick and whatnot, like that, that they have to challenge and they go on a power or a penalty kill after that. And then the game's just over. And then also stupid play by Matthew Tkachuk to get himself kicked out of the game. I know you're down two goals. I know you're on the penalty kill, but Stanley Cup final, anything can happen still with 3 or 4 minutes left. So we'll see how that carries over into game two. I was disappointed with the overall result, but I'm not disappointed with the Panthers' effort. So I still think the Panthers have a good shot to win the cup here, and I wouldn't mind doubling down on them.
First of all, I say fuck off to all reviews. Stick with the call on the ice, unless it's a matter of whether the puck crossed the line, which should be, you know, some magnetic chip instead of like relying on the antiquated Kodak camera up there on the top of the net to see if the puck crossed the line. So that should be fixed. But other than that, I don't like any reviews. I've been over this many times. Second of all, a little Easter egg there with Talon dropping the you know, the Knights being hesitant, and Joel would not like me saying that because Talon in the Discord, right when the Knights scored, he was like, "Oh, Knights being too hesitant." And then he deleted
my
the fucking
phone. Stream was delayed, bro. When I was watching, they looked fucking hesitant. What do you want me to say?
And then they scored.
That was a bad turnover.
Call on the ice, bro. Stick with the call on the ice. Leave your fucking comment there.
Oh my god.
Anyway, as for the game itself, I thought, yeah, it was a very even game. I was impressed by Bobrovsky. He was still in the same form as he was in the first 2.5 series. So yeah, that didn't quite pan out, but it doesn't matter because the Knights pressed with the forecheck. They managed to get in the way. They're able to score the one screen goal with the Shea Theodore. They got the puck moving. The Jonathan Marshall first goal there. That's what they got to do against a hot goalie. You got to get the puck moving, get the guys in open ice, and you got to get the screens in front. And I thought the Panthers did a bad job positionally, but they did a good job of protecting the front of the net. So they were clearly worried about the screens. We'll see what happens there going forward because it's basically. The Knights are a much bigger team, so the Knights are going to try to like bully the Knights out of bully the Panthers out of the way. And so far, the Panthers do a good job of defending against that, but the Knights also have a bit more speed and a bit more pressure. So that's how they were able to get a couple of goals. But also, the Panthers were just very resilient and they capitalized on their chances. Like that shorthanded goal to start the game by who scored that goal? Was it Duclair?
Stahl. I think Stahl.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a kind of a fluky thing, but that's what the Panthers do. They score on these break chances. I mean, the Panthers had a lot of chances, but they capitalized on them. And so that's what the Knights got to protect against. Just can't turn the puck over and maintain the pressure in the other zone, and you'll win the series. Because the Hurricanes do the same thing, but the Hurricanes don't have the same kind of pressure in front of the net. So I'm looking for the Knights to body the Panthers a little bit more because the Knights are the bigger team, the more physical than the Hurricanes, and I think they can do a better job of that going forward, and that's why they won this game ultimately.
I think there's a lot to take in there, Joel. It was a great breakdown. There's a lot of things you said that I definitely agree with. And Ryan, you too. Boys, tire pump. You guys are awesome.
Right, thanks.
Hell yeah. This game, though, I gotta say, like, a lot of it kind of went the way that we talked about how it was gonna go on the preview. You know, we talked about Florida, how they score on opportunities and, like, you know, making the best of turnovers and opportunities like that and capitalizing on chances and capitalizing on mistakes, more importantly. And we saw that from the goals. Joel touched on it. On the shorthanded goal the Stahl scored, yeah, that's capitalizing on a Vegas mistake. That's how this Florida team wins games. But you know what we also talked about formerly or before on other shows? Vegas's strong defense. And that was fucking evident tonight, man. Florida had chances. They had some good chances on that. Of course, they did. Aiden Hill played lights out. He had a couple big saves. Ryan touched on that one. That fucking stick save he made, that's second to none. That's an unbelievable save. Hell yeah, that's a Vezina-quality save. Will Aiden Hill ever win the Vezina? Hell no, he won't win the goddamn Vezina. But that was an unreal save. But that's the thing that we talked about, everything going into this. So I just like to say, as a show, we did pretty good predicting this game here. Now, the Vegas Golden Knights, I believe, still to this day, are the better team, in my opinion, here. We saw it from firepower and they capitalized on their opportunities. They're better on 5-on-5. When they're struggling, when they're shorthanded, And we saw them take a couple penalties early, and I was a little weary on this. It's like, oh, what are we doing here, boys? They're a team that needs to play 5-on-5. Do not let Florida have an opportunity to get back into these fucking games. If you give them power plays, they got Barkov's a fucking player, man. Not a lot of people are talking about this guy. He's an absolute stud. Obviously, Kachuk's great. But yeah, man, so we saw all that tonight, what we discussed, and it's going to be a hell of a series, boys. I'm so stoked. This was a fucking awesome game. So hell yeah, man, I'm all in Vegas. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out going forward. But the 5-2 score, like we talked about, this isn't a 5-2 game. This is a 3-2 game, maybe a 2-1 game even. So hell yeah, let's see how it goes, baby. I'm excited. Excited, boys.
Apparently, Albazi just had a greasy win that he shouldn't have had. But yeah, the UFC is finished. Let's go fucking Amir Albazi on the money line. That caps off an excellent day for your boy. Oh, started off bad God. In the French Open, this but cruising there. We're gonna have a long night, man. I've been up for fucking
why don't you go call Jeff Fox to see if you can go on the fucking MMA podcast if that's what you're gonna talk about right now.
Bro, he's been pumping my tires in the channel with all my fucking big dogs. I've been beating his ass. I'm sure he's listening to us right now. But I'm killing UFC apparently.
Back in my day, we used to hate the UFC gambling podcast. Whatever happened to that?
Back in my day, we used to hate the fucking Vegas Golden Knights. How times have changed, bro.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a good point. All right. Let's get into the odds for the next game here. Obviously, for game two, we have on Monday, June 5th, boys. Gentlemen, Ryan, are we ready to go here or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, baby. First game, only game. We got the Florida Panthers, obviously the Vegas Golden Knights for game two here. The game's at 8 p.m. Florida game itself is in Vegas. Florida on the money line is sitting at +115. Vegas on the money line at -135. Over-under is at 5.5. Over paying off, -125. Crazy that that's what the over-under is. I swear that's what it is. The under at +105. Jolly, I'm switching it up. I'm going to throw it to you here because you're Mr. Ooh. I'm going to talk about fucking MMA. Well, you know what? Time to talk fucking hockey, bud. What are we doing in this game?
Fuck, man. I'm still chatting with the boys, but Albazi, I thought that he was swinging it to Ryan first. So he caught me off guard here.
I know, right? You like fucking that?
Shout out to F. Smith. Smitty, my guy, 14.
Yeah, Smitty's cool.
Yeah. He tailed me, or he bet Albazi too. But yeah, we're cheers in that. As for this game, man, yeah. It's going to be the same handicap as before, except you got to pay a little bit more of a premium here with the Knights at -140, -135, something like that. It's a little more expensive than -125, -130. I still think the Knights are the better team, but, you know, the zigzag thing. So, fuck, man. If anything, I mean, you know, the markets are so tight now. You got to pass this point. There's no advantage here because the Panthers have...
The Stanley Cup playoff game?
Stanley Cup final pass.
Oh yeah, this is when you do pass. You look
you
for
are
edges.
Fucking insane, bro.
No, I'm fucking rich now, thanks to Albazi and the Knights. No, if you want my actual opinion, the Knights are kind of disadvantaged because the Panthers, they had that long layoff and they didn't show too much rust. So that kind of negates some of the market effect of the first game. I think that we expected the Panthers to be a bit more rusty than they were, especially Bobrovsky in a lot of our cases. He clearly did not show that he was rusty at all. In fact, he was the same Bobrovsky we've seen over the past few weeks, if not the past 5 weeks. And so that makes me lean towards the Panthers, I guess, if anything, +115. Because it was a very close game today, so I would definitely not be comfortable laying the -135 with the Knights. So, yeah, if anything, you make me lean to the Panthers here at +115. Small lean to the under 5.5, +105, just because I like what I saw from Bobrovsky. He's proven us wrong so far in terms of because he was sharp. He's not the reason why the Panthers lost this game. And, so that's a lot of the reason why the Knights were favorite to begin with. So now that they're favored a little bit more, I'd be more inclined to back the Panthers at a bounce back spot, but I'm not betting either of these things. I'm just giving you my honest opinion. These are true leans. I'm not playing fucking 100 puck bucks on either of them. Just lean to the Panthers, lean to the under.
Shit.
Okay. I did have a 100 puck buck lean on the Panthers at +110 in game one. I'm going right back to him in game two. It's plus 115. It's now moved to plus 120 on the sports book we're looking at here. I like that. I imagine it'll move back down to plus 115. I also do like the under 5.5, plus 105. I think it'll. I am a bit wary of, you know, maybe the refs calling a few penalties early, maybe get a few early power play goals, kind of get the guys in check. But I think they'll let them police themselves, let them play a little bit here in the Stanley Cup final. So yeah, that's I like the Panthers. I don't think they're going to go down 2-0, and I do like the under. I think it'll be tightened up a bit, and both power plays didn't really impress me too much anyway tonight. For potential player props, I was impressed with Mark Stone, Brett Howden line. Maybe look at a Brett Howden anytime goal. I think he was like plus 800 today on FanDuel. He had the second most expected goals for on the Golden Knights, and that line was pretty good for them. So maybe look at a Howden, Stevenson, Stone prop either that way, or maybe look for a Mark Stone Conn Smythe or a Stevenson Conn Smythe at 75-1 if you want to.
Oh,
go.
We're doing that now. We're doing that now.
I mean, no, we're not doing that now.
Whoa, before you do, who the fuck is Brett Howden?
Brett Howden. He's just what the like, is this dog just goes to the front of the net and picks up rebounds?
Okay. Did Ryan say Brett Howden for Conn Smythe?
No, I said Brett Howden's goal is what I said.
He said it for the Hart next year. Okay, Hart goal okay. Next year, early
yeah.
on.
Yeah, but for the game, Panthers Maurice in the Richard. Under. I would also look at three-way regulation draw, plus 320 or better. One of these games is going to go overtime soon.
Could we get Brett Howden for Hart shirts made? That would be the greatest fucking thing of all time.
We're howling for Howden.
Howling for
Howden.
Woo! All right, before we get into all that crazy shit, I'm making my picks here. Vegas, baby. Vegas minus 135. Let's fucking go. Go up. Let's do it. Let's go up fucking 2-0. I say let's, like I'm part of this team. I'm not. They're not even.
Fuck you guys.
I hope these guys go up 2-0 at home here. And then I hope Florida wins 2 on the road. So we got a good series here. Because that's all I'm looking for is a good series. But I think the Knights should be able to get it done. It's going to be fucking sick, dude. I'm so stoked. As far as the over-under goes here, 5.5, bro. Give me the fucking over. We saw goals. And you know what? Bobrovsky. We haven't seen it. What do we see from Bob? When he's getting fucking 50 shots against him a game, he's fucking making 48 saves. But you know what? Sometimes when you get 26, 27, 30, 32, you don't come up that big, man. So you know what? I think we're going to see a little bit more of that. I think the Bob train's kind of coming up. Not to say he played bad. He played great tonight. But it's not going to be what we've seen before here. So
I could tell, and I like it.
Hell yeah, bro. I'm just saying. So the over, rather, 5.5 at minus 125, I absolutely love. And maybe even sprinkle a little bit of a Vegas team total. I'm not a team total guy. I don't go on for that shit, but I think there's definitely something to be said here. I don't see if it's at like 3.5. Fucking crush that thing, bro. That's goal. Especially if Florida's, you know, they're a gritty team, and you got Radko Gudas being a fucking idiot. I love him. You got Sam Bennett being a fucking idiot. I love him, too. You got Anthony or DeClaire being a fucking idiot. Love that guy. You got Tkachuk being an idiot. Absolutely love it. Ryan, you touched on it earlier. Tkachuk getting tossed out. I love that play. Fuck it. We're down by 2. It's game 1. Who gives a shit? If it's game 3 or 4, yeah, don't do that. Fuck that. Tkachuk, punch some guys in the face. Fucking tomahawk somebody. I love that play. But still, I'm on the over here at 5.5 and absolutely love Vegas. So let's go. Sergei Bobrovsky. No more like Sergei Bobnovsky, baby. Let's fucking go, Knights.
Just have Munaf come on the next episode of me, and you three guys can just stroke off the Knights all episode long. You guys, you want that?
Stroking each other off, yeah.
Buddy, I've been shedding tears the whole fucking playoffs long here. This is just my last stand. I'm just going all in on the Knights because I got nothing else going. I'm just going to the team I think that's better, more complete, bigger depth, not a better goalie, but I think this team's going to win the cup, the Knights, so that's just what I'm going with, man. I don't get to choose who wins the cup. I just
I'd hope not. I'd hope if you got to choose, you would choose whatever worked out best for
Avalanche.
Us.
I think Joel should just choose who wins the cup every year. We shouldn't even play.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah.
Just Joel, cancel. Looks at the offer, and then after the trade deadline, he takes a look and says, "You know what? I think
Joel looks
Avalanche
at the numbers
versus the Canadiens every year."
Go on, you can't do one good thing for me. Let's go. At least get me in the semis or the finals. Yeah. What are we doing here?
You want to see the Leafs lose in the finals every year?
Oh, I want you to give me some love, bro.
All right. Well, you get the semis, and then the Canadians beat you. How about that?
fucking hate you so much.
All right, make sure you check out the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final contest in the SGPN app. It's not just a series-long contest. There's also game-by-game props, too. You can score points on to win a $100 SGPN gift card. So make sure you get in there. You can go to sg.pn/app or just search for the SGPN app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. And, make sure you download the SGPN app and enter today.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, we're going to move into HGP PBC. That's the hot... Whoa.
We're into the Conn Smythe?
That's part of it, isn't it?
No, we could touch on Conn Smythe odds for like 3 minutes. Because there's not much not much to say.
I'm riding hard on fucking...
I'm getting my fucking brass knuckles on the whole time, ready for this segment.
Riley Smith plus 2,500. Lots of value there. Riley Smith's going to win the Conn Smythe. Joel, or who's doing this? Or you guys figure it out. Whoever wants to go first, fucking go first. You know what I mean.
We discussed the Conn Smythe quite a bit before the series. I don't think it changed too much in game one. Jack Eichel had 2 assists. He's the only real star player that did. He had 2 assists, but Mark Stone had the goal, the pretty much clinched the game, put him up 4-2 late. Aiden Hill had that amazing save. He continued to play well. So I think it still comes down to those three for Vegas. The best odds you can find for Eichel right now are plus 330. Stone is plus 1,000 on DraftKings, but 18-1 on FanDuel. So big disparity there. Hill is 550 on FanDuel, 8-1 on DraftKings. So those are probably the three on Vegas. Florida, probably still Bobrovsky, Kachuk, unless someone else goes off.
So my dispute with Talon was that that it can only be Eichel or Stone. And I do think that Stone is value at 18-1 on FanDuel. That's the spoiler alert. That's my puck buck bet, my only one. But there is a chance, a strong chance in Marchessault, given his statistics and given the fact that I know he doesn't have the big brand name or whatever that Eichel has, but Eichel isn't exactly as elite as the you might think. You know, this is his first playoffs. Marshall's always come in. He's fought through these playoff wars. He's been in the wars for years and years and years since the original Vegas Golden Knights. So he has some value there in terms of the narrative, right? Because it's not like the NBA. Like the NBA, they just give the fucking best player in each team the award. But this is a unique series. This is a unique playoffs because neither of these teams are really established elite teams. It's more like the Blues with Ryan O'Reilly showing up and doing his thing. He wasn't an elite player at the time, so I can easily see something similar shaping up here. So yeah, Marchessault at 4-1. That's too short now, but if you got him at like 10-1 before, that's a good bet. Eichel was, you know, he made some good plays today, but he didn't produce. But Stone is the bet, I think, at 18-1, captain of the team. And scored a goal today, a memorable goal too, considering it's controversial with the high sticking potential. But Stone 18-1 would be my play at this point. But my point is that it's up for grabs for the Knights because it could be Marchessault, so it still could be Carlson. He has 10 goals for the team, and you know if he has a couple of good games, then he can win it. He can steal it, and it doesn't have to be about the star players. That's my whole point. But for the Panthers, it's going to be Bobrovsky or Kachuk.
There's no other argument for anyone else. So if you're going to argue about that, I'm not going to extend in your way. But for the Knights, it's a total shit show. Like even it could even be Aiden Hill. Like if he has a shutout, I know you're laughing, but if he has a shutout, like fucking voters will vote for him because the voters are fucking stupid, right? They're not as smart as us, Talon. We're smarter than the voters.
Yeah, I think they make a little bit more money than us.
Though, yeah, but we're still smarter than them because
they gotta
pander to the people. They gotta pander to the bosses. They gotta, you know, do whatever. But Aiden Hill, he's been great this playoffs. I think like he missed the first round and all that, but still
one and a half.
You could actually attach like an honorary vote to the Vegas Golden Knights goalkeeper coach, who's been awesome in terms of coaching up these guys. Been like it doesn't matter who they put in, every goalie that the Knights play has been great. So that could be like shared with him.
Just give it to the whole team. Give it to everybody. Everyone wins.
Fuck you, you fucking communist.
You had to bark Andre Fleury, R.I.P.
Fucking Trotskyite over here.
All right. Finish up so I can fucking get going here.
Stone, 18-1. Conn Smythe.
All right. Let me read a little list to you here. Kale McCarr.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Andre Vasilevskiy. Victor Hedman. Brian O'Reilly. Alex Ovechkin. Sidney Crosby. Duncan Keith, Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams, Patty motherfucking Kane. Now, does one Jonathan Marchessault fit into that list? Be honest, does he?
Does Jack Eichel?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He's done fuck all.
Yes.
Eichel does, yeah. Marchessault, if anything, is like a Mr. Game 7, but he would have to be that clutch.
Okay, now Jolie brought up a point about Ryan O'Reilly. Now, let me read out another list here. Ryan O'Reilly. Vladimir Tarasenko, Braden Schenn, Tyler Bozak, Jaden Schwartz, Robert Thompson.
Jordan Binnington.
What were Binnington's stats? It probably should have been Binnington. Bergen,
Robert should have been Binnington. Probably, maybe it should have. Now, he had great stats. Hell yeah, he did. Now, if you're going to fucking tell me the fucking Jonathan Marchessault is going to win the goddamn Conn Smythe, I am so sorry, Joel Meyer. Jonathan Marchessault is an excellent player. Jonathan Marchessault has done nothing but show up in this playoffs. Jonathan Marchessault isn't a star in this league. Now, that's wrong. He should be a star in this league, but Jonathan Marchessault isn't a star in this league. And I'm telling you right fucking now, Jack Eichel or Mark Stone is going to win the Conn Smythe for the Vegas Golden Knights. For right or wrong, do I agree with that? I don't. I'm on your side here. I think Marchessault should get that fucking credit. This guy deserves. He has showed up. What's he got? Like 9 goals in the past 10 games? 10 goals in the past 11 games? That's absolutely unfucking believable. Now, look at the guys who's feeding him the puck, though. Jack Eichel, baby. You keep shitting on Jack Eichel. If this guy wins the fucking Stanley Cup this year, that means that... Is Jack Eichel better than Connor McDavid? I mean, he's won a Stanley Cup.
No one's going to say that.
No, exactly. I'm not. I'm fucking with you. But if this guy comes for, and you keep shitting on him, Joel, saying like, oh, what has he done before? What has he done before? What's the narrative on Jack Eichel? I don't even want to say look at the teams that he played for in Buffalo, because obviously there was talent in those teams. A lot of those guys are in the playoffs like right now. Look at fucking Montour. It's a perfect example. That guy was a saver when Eichel was there. They had good players.
Reinhart was there, yeah.
Exactly. But fucking look at the culture that Buffalo team, what's the word? Exuberated? That's not a word. I'm going with
that. They had shit culture until he left.
It was absolutely terrible. No, they had shit culture under the fucking leadership group that was there when he was there. And
that's not his fault. That's not Eichel's fault.
It's exactly. Sure and is. This is part of the reason why I'm all in with Vegas as of late is because when they traded for Jack Eichel, they said, hey, go get that fucking neck surgery that you want to get. You know the neck surgery that fucking Buffalo wouldn't let you get? Go do that. And he did it. And look what happened. At the end of last year, he also had a broken wrist. And he still came back with the last 5 games and tried to get this team into the playoffs. Because that's what kind of fucking dog this guy is. Nobody talks about that. Yeah, I got a broken wrist and they were missing the playoffs by like 2 or 3 points. He still tried to play for him. Well, fuck no. He comes back healthy. He has an unbelievable goddamn year. And you might not like it. You don't have to agree with me on this, but you can't deny that this guy's had a lights out fucking playoffs and a lights out regular season. We're seeing the best, not the best. We're seeing the fucking Jack Eichel coming into his own finally. He's in a good place. He's in a happy place. He's being supported by characters that want to be there. And there's something to be said for a positive mindset. I'm not trying to be a little bitch here, man, but if you're fucking miserable, look at the Sabres. Look at the players that moved on from there. Fucking Linus Ullmark, Jeremy, or not Linus Ullmark, sorry. Was it Swayman or Ullmark? I think it was Ullmark. Yeah, look at him. He fucking moves on, wins the Vezina. Ryan O'Reilly moves on for that team. He says, I lost my will to play hockey in Buffalo. What the fuck happens? He goes and he wins the fucking Conn Smythe
Cup.
Sam Reinhart, same goddamn thing. So if you're trying to sit here and say that Jack Eichel leaving there is insignificant, it's not, man. That now Buffalo, if you're a Sabres fan and you're listening to this, what you guys have in place right now is different. This is a different time. It's a different thing. 5 years, it might not seem like a long time. It is a long goddamn time. So you're on the up. You're on the come up. You have good management. You have a great fucking leadership core there. Okposo's been a fucking dog through and through. But he's seen the bad times too. So you can't argue that, you know, what we're saying is wrong here. But credit to Jack fucking Eichel. And credit to the Vegas Golden Knights for saying, hey, let's get this guy. Let's get him fucking healthy. Do what you want to do. We got our first line center. And they did. So I'm all on the fucking Knights. I'm all on the fucking Jack Eichel train, and you motherfuckers should be too, because you guys got a stud here, bro. Jack Eichel, Mark Stone, Conn Smythe, Vegas Knights, Stanley Cup. Let's fucking go, boys.
You know what this sounds like, Ryan? This sounds like Emperor Palpatine convincing Anakin Skywalker.
Oh my god, bro. Yeah, you want to go into Star Wars
I definitely understand that reference.
Anyway, look, dude, let's cut it to the chase. I don't mind Eichel to win the Conn Smythe. I'm just saying, for value, I know you say value is irrelevant, but clearly it does have relevance. At 3-10 or +310, it's just too short. I think that there could be a couple other guys who can win it. I think Marshall's going to win it. I think you'd be better off betting him at 10-1, 12-1, 14-1 before, but not at 4-1 now. I agree with that. Like, Eichel is more likely to win it than Marshall's, though. I agree with you there.
But, is Jack Eichel a superstar?
Yeah, he's borderline, yeah.
Oh my god, no, the answer is yes.
I mean, he does get narrative points for beating McDavid and all that, because he's the second overall pick, he got passed over and all that shit, but
that's irrelevant. Is he himself a superstar in the NHL? I would say yes. What do you think?
He's emerging. You don't gotta say he's emerging. He's finally in a right
he's
place.
A superstar.
Sure, but the hockey, it's not the same thing as the NBA. Like the NBA, they just give it to the best player all the time. The hockey, they do give it to different players all the time. Like, and this is a weird playoffs. Like there's a bunch of different deserving You're players right. to win Conn Smythe. So I'm just saying, I agree with you. Jack Eichel should be the favorite, but I think that other players could win it potentially. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
I'm also not going to stand for the Marchessault shit talk. I don't think there's value on him at 4-1, but that's showing he's getting the respect at 4-1. And the problem with him is, like, he plays with Eichel on the same line. So if he scores, Eichel's likely to get an assist. But if Marchessault scores in every game or like three more goals in this series, he could very easily win it.
So when Marchessault doesn't win the Conn Smythe, at least he can look back and tell his kids when he's 90, hey, I was 4-1 to win the Conn Smythe once.
No, man, he can tell him that he won the fucking cup. That's all that matters. Fuck all his individual awards bullshit. Like, we're the only ones who care about this because we're fucking betting money on it.
Of course. Really, you're right. Of course, that's it.
Because he'll be the one to lift the cup first. I guarantee you. Like, after Mark Stone lifts the cup, when the Knights win, he'll pass it to Marchessault first.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. Yes. And you can bet that, actually, at Sports Interaction.
Who do you think he's going to pass first?
William Karlsson, because he's been there since day one, too, like Marchessault has as well. But I think Stone is
Canadian.
But I think it's going to Karlsson after. Really? Okay. Well, you can bet that, though. It is a bet you can make.
Yeah, I saw that. I think it's Marchessault first, though. We'll see. Carry on.
Okay. I think we're good. Let's get into the HGP PBC. I got some food ratings. Let's fucking fire this up here, boys. Currently, what do we got here?
You are in first, buddy.
I am in first place. Thank you very much, Joel. 28-25 on the record, up nine, or not up, but my current bankroll is 900 and puck bucks and 12 cents. None of us are in the green, so that should be noted as well. Joel is in second place.
You have a profit of 65 puck bucks and 73 puck cents.
Some pending.
We're in the green now.
You are in the green.
You have some pending bets.
Yeah, because you have some futures up in the air.
I guess so. I don't know how this all works. I'm fucking dumb. Joel's 1937, 600 puck bucks, 16 puck cents available to his bankroll or his puck buck roll. And Ryan, 22 and 41, 190 puck bucks and 62 puck cents. He's going for a Hail Mary, and I love the Hail Mary plays. That's what you do. When you're down in the competition like this, you go fucking tits out. You put your nutsack on the fucking wall, Ryan. No, I love that.
You be selfless and dedicate yourself to the listener, and you maintain a reasonable bankroll.
That's what I think I dedicate myself to the listener enough. Don't worry. And also, I'm looking back at Talon's puck buck bets. It's funny with that Conn Smythe conversation, because on May 22nd, he put 30 puck bucks on Mark Stone to win Conn Smythe at 6-1.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. He's a man of his word.
I got four puck bucks left. I got Stone, I got Eichel, I got Bobrovsky, and I got fucking Tkachuk. And that's all I got going. And that's what I've been preaching, man.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? What are you saying? There's no Tkachuk?
No, I say if it's Panthers winning, I hope it's Tkachuk. But obviously, we want the nice win because I'm on the dark side now. Fucking hail Sith.
Hell yeah. First order, baby. Let's fucking go. Jolie. Pick us off here. Let's fucking go, baby. What the fuck?
I don't have much else to say. Just Stone Conn Smythe, 18-1, 5 puck bucks on that. He scored today. This number's going to go down, so bet it as soon as you can. Knight's winning the cup, and he's the captain, so fuck. 18-1, that's crazy price. Just bet the shit immediately. You know what? I should put 10 puck bucks on this because I'm so confident in it. 10 puck bucks, Stone Conn Smythe, 18-1. Let's fucking go, Knights.
Yeah.
Tail the dark side.
Great price there. I said it in the when we talked about the game. I'm going with the Florida Panthers. Game 2, plus 120. Putting 100 puck bucks on that. I think they're going to be able to even up the series there. And you know what? I need some puck bucks. Let's put 100 on them and see what happens.
Okay. Good confidence boost there. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll round it out. For myself, I got Vegas money line in game 2 here at minus 135 for 30 puck bucks. I also have Vegas, Florida over 5.5 for game 2 as well, minus 125 puck bucks. Minus 125 at 30 puck bucks. And you know what? I wasn't going to read this, but I'm going to do it. I got my pod boys, Ryan Gilbert, Joel Meyer and Ryan Gilbert being absolute fucking beauties at minus 2,000. I was going to risk 1 billion puck bucks, but I got to say, after listening to this podcast we've had here tonight, I think those odds might have fucking went up a little bit here, man. I think the odds might have jumped to maybe like plus 100, being after all the bullshit I've heard coming out of these guys' fucking mouths today. But I'm still going to bet at 1 billion puck bucks because these guys are still fucking absolute beauties. So give me my boys being absolute fucking beauties, minus 2,000, 1 billion puck bucks on my puck buck challenge. Let's fucking go here, gentlemen.
You really just haven't listened to Joel's bankroll management tips whatsoever, have you?
No, I skipped school. I used to skip school and smoke weed and get drunk in the fucking section with them, play guitar with all the other boys. Sitting there playing some fucking acoustic, No Effects, Bad Religion. Fuck yeah. School's fucking nerds.
If 100% bet, that's more than minus 20,000, the implied odds. So that is a plus EV bet. So 1 billion puck bucks, that's a plus EV bet, baby.
Hell yeah, Joel. That's fucking dope, baby. Woo! All right. Anything else going on here before we wrap it up, or let's fucking keep her going here?
Keep her going.
Okay. All right. Guys, everybody go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast every website. That's the place to be. Tons of stuff going on in the world of sports. We got NBA playoffs. Julie, NBA playoffs. Give us an update. What's going on? Your Nuggies doing okay?
Oh, yeah, baby. We won the first game. No problem. Jokic, casual triple-double. Jamal Murray was awesome. No problems there at all. The Heat are too small to sustain the offensive pressure of the Nuggets. They missed their shots. I do expect this game to go over, though, on Sunday. So look for an over 215. I got it at 214.5. I think it's going up. But, I like the over in the game on Sunday. And, it's at minus 9, so you can't really lay the minus 9, but I would definitely like the Nuggets to win the series, but they're minus 1,200, whatever, but the Nuggets are winning the fucking title. Let's fucking go, Denver. Title town last year, Colorado Avalanche this year, Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, boy.
Over 215 in game 5.
Okay, hell yeah. Ryan, what's up in the baseball world? Anything going on in the baseball world?
No, it's still early June here. Phillies are still sucking, so nothing too exciting here in the baseball world.
Okay, good to know. But we got a couple races up. One coming up. We got NASCAR. We got MMA doing its thing. Tons of stuff. Soccer. Apparently soccer is a thing. Tons of stuff going on in the world of sports. You can find all that information at the SGPN website. Be sure to read the articles. Ryan's pumping out shit. 100% check that out. The guy knows what he's talking about. Good little insight. Some people don't like listening to full shows, but if you want to like get a little insight of what's going on in the series, Gilbert's your fucking guy, man. So hell yeah. And then be sure to listen to the other shows, even though we just said some people don't listen to them. But if you do want to listen to them, check out all the other shows on the Absolute Network. Check out Baseball Money is Fake with Ryan and Blake. You guys are absolutely always killing it. And like I said, you can find all that information at the SGPN website. Of course, as always, shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. You guys are friends and pals. I want to emphasize this enough. We say friends and pals for a reason, because you are friends and pals. If you're in the fucking Discord, you're one of our boys, yo. So, or one of our girls. You know, I don't think we've ever had a girl in the Discord. But if you are a girl in the Discord, you're one of our pals and friends, too. Well, Jolie, you're a girl, too. But that's okay. So, hell yeah, man. Get your ass in the Discord. If you're not in there, you're fucking missing out. It's absolutely free. We have an absolute blast. And, you know, people are posting a lot of winners in there. So, shout out to all of our friends and pals, ladies and gentlemen, or you know, whatever else in the Discord. What was I gonna say? If you want to get in the Discord, reach out to myself or Ryan on Twitter. You can obviously do that, or the HGP Twitter account will be sure to point you in the right direction. Or also, I was reading a book the other day, and you know what I found out? I found out that the dinosaurs may have made closed mouth noises in order to communicate, much like, you know, like booms or hums, you know, and it's similar to what some birds make today, you know, and that's according to a fucking journal that's published or whatever in like July or whatever, some shit like that, 2016. But so if you're trying to get in the Discord and you can't reach out to any of us on Twitter, all you can go is just make some hums or some hums and some hums and hums, because there are other dinosaurs out there.
Especially like the giraffe noise there.
Exactly. If you're in the BC area and you start going,
that's fucking right.
Yeah, I know. Like, but you know, there's another dinosaur that does happen to be a part of the show. Not a giraffe, a dinosaur. So if you go, he'll be sure to go back to you. And I'm sure between your relationships going, you can find yourselves the way to navigate into the Discord. So, shout out to that. Google a couple hums and a couple booms, and you can get into the Discord with our friend Joel Meyer.
Yeah, and make sure you're subscribed to the
How do you follow that up? How do you follow that up?
Podcast, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating review using some words, some draft noises, dinosaur noises, whatever you want to put in there. Let us know what you think. You can also follow us on Twitter at HockeySGPN. The intern's been cooking up some heat there.
Hell yeah, yes. That guy's been on fire tonight. Absolutely killing it, bro. All right, guys. My name is Talon Jenkins. You can find me on Twitter at Talon_Jenkins94.
I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
I'm Joel Meyer, and you'll find me fucking following Jokovic, all the way along. We were on the serving parlay, the Denver Nuggets and Novak Djokovic to win the French Open. The Serbians are conquering the world. Let's go.
Last time Serbia had an impact on the world, that didn't learn how very well.
Hey.
Shout out Gabriel Princel up in the black hand. Not a big deal.
Fuck the UN.
All right. Peace.